Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from the Gnostic tradition of Samael Aun Weor. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal teaching of practical science, whose goal is absolute liberation from suffering and the complete development of the human being. This lecture is one of hundreds available as free downloads, podcasts, or transcriptions. Our lectures range in topic and complexity in order to address the many needs of humanity. We invite you to browse our library of lectures to find teachings that suit you. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live and includes a free online classroom allowing listeners to see images, read related scriptures, and ask questions of the speaker. To learn how to participate, visit GnosticRadio.org. Gnostic Radio is a service of Glorian Publishing, a non-profit organization. The lectures and radio broadcast have been made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Most spiritual schools recommend a donation of $10 to $20 per lecture. To make a donation, visit GnosticRadio.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Runes are Tyr and Bar. These three runes are very beautiful in the way that they describe very important elements that develop within each one of us and within the universe. These runes will help us to understand the relationship of the microcosmos with the macrocosmos, how those forces work in each one of us. Remember that when we name the microcosmos, we are talking about the physicality within which we find those archetypes in potentiality that through the development, through their development, we make the microcosmos as an image of the macro. Because right now, as we are microcosmos physically speaking. And in this physicality, we have these properties or those archetypes that we need to develop. Here we are going to explain, in relation with these three runes, how this development is acquired in each one of us. If you observe again the center of the Aztec calendar, you will also discover the relation of these three runes by using the imagination that, of course, are related also with the whole stone. When looking at the Futhark or runic alphabet, we discovered that the rune R is related with the number 10. It's the 10th rune. Then the rune Tyr is the number 12, and the rune bar the number 13. So 10, 12, and 13 are the numbers that we are going to dive in order for us to comprehend each one of these runes. If you see the next graphic, we find how we perform the shape of these runes with our physicality. Because indeed, every single rune is related with our body. The rune R, which is the first one, is made by opening our right leg towards the right and making the open angle with the legs and making that the shape of the letter A of the rune R as we know it in the Latin and Greek alphabet. The rune R is the same Ara, represents the heavenly altar created by the gods, the Elohim, of Mount Olympus, to celebrate the defeat of the Titans, where the gods, or the Elohim, swore their alliance to the supreme god Zeus, which is equal as Odin or Jupiter. Odin, according to the Nordic Edda. The smoke from the altar was said to pour out to create the Milky Way. According to another account, Ara was the altar on which the centaur offered his sacrifice of lupus. Lupus is a name for wolf. The centaurus is traditionally depicted as carrying Lupus, the wolf, to sacrifice on Ara, the altar. Ara was also known as the altar that Noah built after the great flood with his ark, when his ark rested on the Mount Ararat. This altar was also said to have been forged by the Cyclops when the gods, or Elohim, forged an alliance with Zeus against the Titans. So we were talking in the previous lecture, if you remember, about how Zeus became the main god that fought against Saturn, which was the Heropas, the flowing of time, in order to establish the present Maha Manvantara. When you observe the constellations, then you find the constellation of Ara, which is described, as we explained, and that, according to this myth, is that the constellation that the gods made in order to start making the Milky Way of this galaxy, which is, of course, an allegory of the cosmic day in which we are in this present times, in which the ray of Okidanok began its creation by extracting the universe from the Ein Sof Or. If you observe the word Ein Sof Or, you discover that the word A-U-R, which is pronounced Or, that we will say Aur, is hidden the rune Ar. If it wasn't for the U, then we will read Ains of Ar. And it is because the U, as we studied in the previous lecture, relates to the rune Ur, which we know represents the Ein Sof. So within the word Aur, we find the Ein Sof represented by the U, that is the uterus, from where the light emerges. This light, of course, as I said, in Hebrew, is pronounced Or, but is written Aur. If you said Or, or Ur, that you are implying the rune Ur, the Ein Sof, the R, which is the light, because this is how you said light in Hebrew, R or Ur. Ein Sof Or means limitless light. So just by taking the word Aur, we are naming the Ein Sof Or, because within the U is the Ein Sof. This is precisely very important because in the Nordic alphabet, the Futhark, R relates to the sun, S-U-N, the solar light, to the light, in other words. And we talked very extensively in the previous lecture about the solar absolute. And you remember that in Egypt, the solar absolute is named Ra, which is precisely the activity of the R with the same letter A that all of us know because we explained it, that the letter A, Aleph, or Alpha, represents the breath, the wind, the spirit. This is something very important to understand, because the universal spirit of life that we call the cosmic Christ within the Ein Sof Or is the same letter Aleph, but unmanifested. And if you remember, the letter Resh, or R in the Hebrew Kabbalistic alphabet, represents the head. That's why when we said Resh, we are naming the head. When we said Ah, we are naming the breath, the wind, in the head. And if you observe, of course, the graphic of the Tree of Life, is precisely above the head, above Keter, where we find that Or, or Ar, that light. That's why Keter is called crown. A crown of light on top, of course, which we call the aura. And if you observe also the word aura, you find that is A-U-R with the A again, aura. So this word really is pointing us to the top of the head, where we see really the aura, and which in Latin is called ara, which means altar. Aura, ara. Altar comes from altus, which means higher. Higher altar, or higher ara, is altar. That's the meaning, the etymology of this word, which is synonym of aura. So, do you see how the word really rhymes with different languages? and how the root of what we talk, of the words that we utter in any language, always go in the very root of the light of the Futhark or Nordic alphabet. That's why we state that this beautiful rune R relates directly to the absolute, the Ein Sof Or, and also to Keter. Because remember that Keter is represented by the letter Aleph, which is the wind, the spirit. It's a symbol in Kabbalah of the air above. So when we said Ara, which is Latin for altar, we are of course pointing to our head. In that place is where we have our Alt-R, the higher Ara. That's why when we pray to the unknowable divine, we always point to the top. In all religions, you see how they always cover that part of the head of the chakra Sahasrara, or the Sefirah Keter, which relates to the pineal gland. That light, of course, that they cover, or the kippah that they put on the head, or the turban that they put on the head, represents that respect that we are showing to our own particular individual ara, altar, or our own particular light, because there, in that part, is where we find our own particular individual Ein Sof. Because Ein Sof cannot manifest in the universe. And in order to appear, it projects that ray. That ray that is the light. Ar, Aur, Or, Aura, Ara, where we find the light that shines on top of the altar of any religion. So the light always represents the unknowable and the noble, divine, with the A-R-A, Ara. Remember, I repeat, that the letter Resh is Rosh, but it means head in Kabbalah. That's why the importance of the mantra Ra. We also explained that our own particular Ein Sof contains within its bosom three atoms that represents the holy Triyamatsikamno, the law of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the depth of our own being, our own reality, we have the Ein Sof with the three primary atoms, which are capable of developing infinite possibilities in the universe. But being the Ein Sof incapable of manifesting itself in the universe, it projects that light, that ray of light that we call our, R, the rune R, in which we find, of course, the three primary forces in activity. Within the unmanifested absolute and within the megalocosmos, which is the universe. Now, within the Ein Sof, or within that R, Rune R, as we explained in previous lectures, we find the Theomermalogos. The Theomermalogos, which is the Word of God. That Word of God, which is Christ, the cosmic Christ. Now remember that the Apostle John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Theomermalogos is the Word of God in the Ein Sof Or, which eventually will divide itself into three. Within that Theomermalogos, we find the ray of Okidanok that will emerge into the universe. We stated also that the new rays from the Ein Sof that do not have self-realization will come from the Ein Sof and blend with the cosmo-creators in order to receive their inheritance. Pay attention very well in order to understand this, because some students still do not understand this projection. Since each one of us, as Ein Sofs, have three primary forces, the three primary forces of our own particular Ein Sof blend with the three primary forces of the cosmo creators in the Ein Sof Or. Because the cosmo creators relate also with the three primary forces. This is what we call a geneo-triamatsikamnian contact. Geneo of Genesis. So this geneo-triamatsikamnian contact means that my three primary forces blend with the three primary forces of the cosmo-creators. In that blending of the three primary forces of new rays with cosmo-creators, emerge what we call an engender. Something is begot. And that which is begotten with that union of these three primary forces of cosmo creators and new rays is what we call innermost. That is spark, which is, we will say, like a sperm. Like when the Ein Sof unites with the primary forces of the cosmo creators. The cosmo creators fecundate that Ein Sof with a spark of light, as when a man fecundates with his own sperm the ovum of a woman, which in this case represents the uterus, the you, the Ein Sof, from which the ovum emerges, which in this case will be the container of the three primary forces of our own particular Ein Sof, blending with the three primary forces of the cosmo creator. That union begat the innermost. Do you get that? Simple to understand in that way. So that is spark of light is the spirit, our own particular spirit, our own particular innermost, which in Kabbalah is called Chesed. Within that Chesed, which is the property of the Cosmo Creator, the Cosmo Creator places a particular inheritance. In the same way as our father, physical father, plays in our genes particular inheritance. You see, for instance, our father and mother, they have many children, but every children is different. We will say that every children inherited different types of genes. Even if they are twins, they are not equal. It's always something different. In this way is how we understand that the Cosmo Creator, to which our ray blends, places in our that spark a cosmic inheritance, spiritual inheritance, that is called the divine soul, or the cosmic soul, the spiritual soul. So any monad, now when we said monad, we are naming, of course, that spark. And that monad is what we call Atman Buddhi in Sanskrit. So that Atman Buddhi, as you see, is the outcome of the blending of the three primary forces of our own particular Ein Sof with the three primary forces of the Cosmo Creator, which are already fully developed. And this is how we receive that from the cosmic Christ, because Cosmo Creators abide within the cosmic Christ, which is the Ein Sof Or. That is spiritual son, which is made of many rays. So many rays are fully developed. Those are called Cosmo Creators. The rays that are not fully developed are simple rays that receive that gift from the Cosmic Christ or the Cosmo Creator in order to appear in the universe and to start doing, performing what we had to do. So that spark of light with a cosmic consciousness is our own particular monad that unites us to the cosmic Christ, the cosmic creators, and to our own particular Ein Sof, because as we explain here, they are blended. But we had to understand that, because within the world of Christ, there is not individuality. That light is one with all the rays. It's as the beauty of the cosmic Christ. That's why when somebody wants to experience the rune R, the light, and in meditation submerges himself into that cosmic Christ, that light, he will experience all what the Lord Vishnu is, according to the Sanskrit. Because to that part in Sanskrit, they call it Vishnu. It is also represented by many pictures when Lord Vishnu is lying down and from his navel comes an umbilical cord. At the end of that umbilical cord of Vishnu is the Lord Brahma. That Brahma, now you get it, is your own particular individual God, your monad, which is blend with the Cosmo Creator and is individual in each one of you. In other words, each monad has his own particular inheritance of that particular light. that the cosmos created place there in order to develop. But we have also our own particular Trimurti from our own Ein Sof that will also develop thanks to the guidance of the cosmos creator. This is very important to understand and comprehend in order to understand the light in our own particular innermost. In order to illustrate this statement, let me tell you what I personally talk with the Master Samael on the Or. I discover through meditation, as you can also discover through meditation, to which ray of light my particular monad, Atman Buddhi, belongs to. And I discovered that is to the fifth ray, the same ray of the Master Samael on the Or, because he is the head of that ray. So talking with him, I asked him and said, Master, as you know, my monad belongs to the same ray of your inner God. And he assented. And then I asked him, so what is the difference between your monad and my monad, since both monads belong to the same ray? And then he said, every monad has its own particular individuality. There is only one father, there is only one son. And that was his answer. Perfect. In other words, my monad is individual. It belongs to the same ray, but every monad within that ray is an individual with his own particular inheritance. And that monad has his own son. That son is the human soul. In this case, that son is me. That son was him. Because the name of Samael on the Or is the name of the Bodhisattva. This is something that we always explained. Samael itself, as a cosmos creator, is that bonfire. But that bonfire has its own particular Dhyani Bodhisattva, whose name is Samael on the Or. And of course, he was incarnated in Mexico, had a physical body. But we have to discover the name of our own particular Atman Buddhi, because each one of us has his own particular Atman Buddhi, and that's the sacred name. That is also entitled to be used by the human soul, because the human soul is part of that Atman Buddhi, is what we call superior manas. Tiferet in Kabbalah. But that human soul, of course, has to develop, has to be created. And this is something that we have to understand and comprehend. Because a spark of the cosmic soul, which is called Buddhi, descends into the physicality and is what we call the Buddha Dhatu, or the essence, that we say always, we have an essence of soul. That's the material with which we can create astral body, mental body, causal body, by the activity of our own particular ruach, or spirit, of the Elohim. now citing the Bible, that Atman Buddhi is the Ruach that the Bible talks about, the Ruach Elohim, or the Spirit of the gods, the Elohim. And that, of course, relates also to the head, because it is stated that the throne of the Spirit is the cerebrum spinal nervous system, or the central nervous system. That's the throne of the Spirit. Takes the brain and the medulla. There is where the Spirit sits. That's the Ruach Elohim. And that Ruach Elohim is related with Ara, with the rune Ar. Our own particular glorian from which that emanated, because remember that we always state that the spirit emanates from the Ein Sof. And that the Ein Sof is the Divine Mother, the Ur, the uterus, the Cosmic Mother. That's why we said that the Spirit and the Cosmic Mother are one. We explained that in the rune Is, I-S. That Spirit, of course, is represented here with the rune Tyr also. If you observe the rune Tyr, is an arrow pointing to heaven, or a spear pointing to heaven. That is the same rune Is, or Isis, or Is, pointing the duality of the tip of the arrow. The duality which comes from the Trinity. That's why the rune Ar and the rune Tyr are directly related in our physicality, because the rune Tyr represents spinal column with the duality up, which is the arrow that represents the two hemispheres of the brain, which are related with Chochmah and Binah, Christ and the Holy Spirit, because the very tip of that arrow of the rune Tyr represents the crown, which we are talking about, which is the Ur. So observed that in our physicality, we have two altars. The higher altar, which is related to the Ein Sof Or and with Keter, to which we have to revere, to respect. When I say this, it's coming into my mind, that phrase of the Gnostic ritual that states, I approach the altar, the Ara of God, which edifies the mind. Mind is the manas, the manu, the man. Behold here the rune man. So I approach the altar of God which edifies the mind. When we state that, when we said that, then we use, using our imagination, we go up to our head, on top, the Ara, that's the altar. And then to edify an altar, that higher altar to our own particular God, we have to edify the mind. To edify the mind is to build the mind, to build a man. The man is susceptible, and we have to create the astral body, the mental body, and the superior mind, superior manas, which is called causal body. Tifereth. And that's why Tifereth, as you see, represented by the sun in the tree of life. That sun is Ra, Ara. It's R in the Ein Sof, or. But when it manifests, is the same head manifesting the wind, the Ra. This is what we call Ara, altar. So when that happens, this is when the gods manifest, the Elohim manifest their force in the universe. And this is how it is stated that when the gods defeated the Titans, then they created that constellation of Ara. And from that constellation, they, when they inverted it, all the fire, the smoke of the altar, became and made the Milky Way, which is this solar system and solar systems of this cosmic Mahamambantara, beautiful symbol, according to the Greek mythology. So, each one of us also has a name in their own particular Ein Sof, in their own Glorian. As the Master Samael in his Glorian, his name is Samael, and his monad is Samael on the Or, or better said, on the Or is the name, because Samael on the Or is a union of the Glorian with the monad. So all of us have that name in our own particular Glorian, our own particular name. With this, I'm telling you that as a monad, we have a name. But as Glorian, we have another name. So one is the name of our God, the Ein Sof, and another name is the name of the monad, Atmanbuddhi. But uniting the two names is how we acquire self-realization, or the realization of the self. In the beginning, when the Master was teaching, he only unveiled the name of his monad, the spark, and says, "My name is On the Or." But when he entered the direct path and incarnated his own Glorian, he says, "Now my name is Samael on the Or," because Samael was the name of his Glorian and on the Or of his monad, Atmanbuddhi. So when we go deep into meditation, we discover that. But for that, of course, we have to edify the mind and to light the splendor of an eternal youth. This is what the end says. "I approach the altar of God, which edifies the mind and lights." See? Lights, related to light, are the splendor. Splendor means Tifereth. Tifereth is beauty, but also means splendor. We like the splendor, which had light in the heart, of an eternal youth. How do we light the splendor of the soul for eternal youth? For that, we have to go down to the Rune Gibor. Remember that we stated that the rune Gibor, together with the rune Ar, form the name Gibraltar. Gibraltar. Gibraltar or Gibraltar is the altar of the Gibur. Already we explained that the rune Gibur is the X, the cross, in other words. We explained that we have two altars, one in the head and the other in the sex. That's the two altars that all of us have. That's why I exist many churches with a higher altar and the lower altar. And sometimes that is represented by the baptismal font, F-O-N-T, font, or fountain. Well, when you enter, you take the water, in the Catholic Church they does it, and they sign themselves, so they put it in their head, the water. That water represents the sexual energy that we have to place in the head. Where the, and that font is where the children are baptized. And we stated in other lectures that the Orthodox Church, the Greek Church, has the octagon font. That fountain with water that has 8 angles made of stone. And we explained that it relates to the two crosses, the cross of Peter and the cross of St. Andrew, to remind you. So these two crosses are represented here in the Aztec calendar because the Aztec calendar points to the two crosses, the cross of Peter and the cross of St. Andrew, with arrows around the circle. And the Aztec calendar in itself is an altar made of stone with which we have to work because in it we find all the symbols that we are talking about. So, of course, the Gibraltar or Gibur altar or the altar of the Gibor, the altar of the cross, is another altar that we have to respect, not only the head. Because when we understand that and say, oh, my altar in the head, this is understandable. But down here, we have another altar we have to respect to. It's the altar of the Divine Mother. Remember, the head, the brain is Adam. And sex is Eve. Adam and Eve. Adam, the brain, is related with Pingala. And sex, the genitalia, is related with Ida, which are the two cords, which are entwined in the spinal column, which is precisely the vertical line of the rune R, the vertical line of the rune Tir. So by working on the rune of Gibur and the altar of the Gibor, which means by performing the sexual act and transmuting the sexual energy, is how we light the soul. Because it is the splendor, which means Tifereth. And light Tifereth of an eternal youth or immortality, the longevity, the elixir of long life. And in that way, remember that Tiferet is in the heart. We build an altar. Because the forces of the Father are in the head. The forces of the Mother are in the sex. And with these two forces, Ida and Pingala, we build another altar in our heart. That's why the axiom that we find in the tarot card number eight, that states, thou shalt edify an altar within thine heart. But that is Tiferet, that is soul. We have to light the splendor of an eternal youth. the same thing. So, but the axiom is warning us. The axiom states, thou shalt edify an altar within thine heart. And after that it states, but thou shalt not make an altar of thine heart. Do you understand that? It's very deep, very profound. Because, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on it shall not be confounded. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The first letter of Peter, which we put in between parentheses, Perth. Remember the rune Perth of Peter. Tear, that we are explaining here, and R, Peter, Patar, encloses the mystery of these three altars that we are talking here. The three altars in which we have to edify. The mind, first, which is a hermetic priesthood. Sexual magic, which is in the Gibor. And the other one, which is the altar of love, the splendor of an eternal youth that we have to develop, which is the sun. If you observe that, you will understand that you, the soul, is the sun, S-O-N. We are the essence that have to develop by working with Peter, whether in the head, whether in sex, or whether in the heart. Again, we find the stone, the mystery of the stone, that the builders, which are the masons, disallowed. Remember that between the compass and the square, you find the letter G of the rune Gibor, the rune, the G of Gnosis, the rune of Genesis, the G of God, the G of generation. So that G is the cross with which we have to work. But in this developing, we have to be careful not to make an altar of thine heart. We have to build an altar in the heart, not to make of our heart an altar. And that's precisely the warning. Because when we are doing that, something develops inside of us which is called mystic pride and mystic vanity, which relates to the sun, to the rune Ara. Because the rune Ara relates to the sun, S-U-N, to the light. That light is in our three brains. But if you observe, when you are thinking bad things, you do the effort and control your mind and start thinking another thing or praying and disallowing those type of thoughts from your head. And when you are utilizing your sexual force in the wrong way, you start developing or controlling the energies of your sexual altar, the Gibraltar, with the two columns. Adam and Eve are united there. So, to control the sexual brain, motor instinctual sexual brain, takes time, but it's also very not difficult. It's easy when you know how. The difficulty is to control the emotional brain. It has a tendency of us to be dragged by the emotional brain easily. Because in this area is where we said, me, remember always that we state that, that when you says you and you feel addressed, you then point your heart. Who? Me? Never point your head, never the sexual organs, your heart. You're talking to me? This is the heart. Because there is where we feel that we are, emotionally speaking. When we are angry, we can control the anger in the head, in our body, we can stop moving. But in the heart, it's so difficult. You want to control it, you want to push aside that anger that is controlling you in that moment and stays there. And he said, no, this is my home and I sit here. And then you do efforts. Well, that's why the Master Samael on Veor explains that in order to control the heart, you have to sit down, relax your body, and analyze with your mind that anger in order to control it. Because just by itself, you cannot control your emotional center. Maybe we will in the future, but right now I don't find anyone that can control. He said, this emotion out and this superior emotion in. Difficult. And it's because the ego tends to control the emotional center, which is Tiferet. So we don't have to make of our heart an altar, meaning to develop mystic pride and mystic vanity, which is the tendency of the ego in order to attract proselytes. If you observe any group that knows about this knowledge, Gnostic or non-Gnostic or religious, there is always a person there in the center that likes to be worshipped. And that's precisely the point here that we always state. We have to know how to build an altar in our heart because we have to do it with this work. But not to make of our heart an altar. Because the ego is very subtle. It likes to be worshipped. Immediately, we know the inner name of our own particular God, our own particular spirit. The ego wants to say it. Oh, I am this, or that, in order to make an altar of his heart. And unfortunately, there exists the tendency of the students of worshiping the personality of that individual, which is the ego. Even though through the personality expresses the being, the inner being, the innermost, or the ego of that particular master, of that particular initiate. But people have the tendency of mistaking the personality with the innermost. And this is something that we have to explain here because it belongs to the next rune, which is a rune tier, which, as we explain, the rune tier is made by an arrow pointing up, which between parentheses is the astrological sign of Mars, the warrior. Observe the rune. It's a vertical line with two polarities, as I said, that are pointing to the two hemispheres of the brain, which relates to Chochmah and Binah, the upper triangle, and to Keter in the very apex of the arrow. So this rune, of course, symbolizes power. But it's the power of the innermost. In the Edda, it is stated that Odin, the father of all the gods, which in Greek is called Zeus, and in the Roman Latin terms, Jupiter, hang himself from the ash tree, the Yggdrasil, in order to sacrifice himself and to discover the mysteries. And this is how, after 9 days, the runes were uncovered to him. The first rune that he held in his hand was a rune tear. Why? Because he was holding his spear. Odin is always represented with a spear in his hand. That spear is a rune tear. With the same spear, he pierced himself and hand on the tree in order for that self-sacrifice to discover the mysteries of life and the mysteries of the universe. And then the runes came, which are the outcome of the word, because the runes are nothing but the graphics that expresses the word, the Theomermalogos, as we state here. So then, Odin, Jupiter, represents the innermost in us, and even deeper, our own God. But behold, in the tree of life, Chesed, which is the innermost, is ruled by Jupiter. But also Bina, from where Chesed emerged, is also represented by Jupiter. In the ordinary Kabbalah, they said that Saturn governs Bina. But the Master Samael on the Ord stated that Bina is also ruled by Jupiter, because Jupiter is the king. And our own innermost is a king. But also Bina, that is the father, is also a king, Jupiter. So that's why I said, when we talk about Odin, Jupiter, or Zeus, we point to our own particular Chesed, but also to our own particular Bina, the Holy Spirit, in order to understand. And the power of the rune Tyr, we represent the spinal column and the two hemispheres of the brain, the throne of the spirit. This is how you have to see. When you see the rune Tyr, imagine the two hemispheres of your brain and the spinal column, which is the throne of the spirit. That is the power of God in you, in your physical body. But unfortunately, in the brain also we have the mind. The mind is not the being. So when you see a master, you know that the master has the internal bodies: physical, astral, mental, causal. And that is what we call the bodhisattva. But the bodhisattva in itself really relates to the astral, mental, and causal body. Because the physical body, in the end, is a vehicle that sooner or later we will lose. It's not immortal. The astral body is immortal. The mental body is immortal. The causal body is immortal. But the physical body is mortal. It will die. You know that. So then, in order for us to express ourselves in this physical world, the physical body needs a vehicle of expression. And that's what we call the personality. Personality comes from personae, in Latin, which means mask. Our personality has a name. That name was given by our parents, physical parents. And within the personality, we have the language that we speak, or languages that we speak, the knowledge that we have, all the necessary knowledge in order to live in this life, in order to have a relationship with our neighbors, to communicate. But at the end, when the physical body dies, that personality also dies. There is no future for the personality. If in your personality your name is Richie or Miguel, that Richie, that Miguel has no future. He's going to die. So prepare to die, because you have no future. Now, the one that has a tomorrow that will return is the ego, unfortunately. That's why it is very funny to find in the internet the name of the personality of such and such fellow that says the Dhyani Bodhisattva of somebody else. When we know that Dhyani Bodhisattva means Atman Buddhi, but the name of the physical personality is garbage. The name that I have, that I use in this physical world, is a name that I use in order to have a relationship, to deal with people. My license that I use in order to drive, my passport, has a name. But that name is nothing. Nothing, really. And people have a tendency of worshiping and says, such and such fellow, and says name and last names. He's a master. And then I said, oh, yeah? I never knew that the personality could be a master. Maybe a teacher of the school, in the high school, in the college, can teach you. Yeah. Could be a professor, too, learning a lot. But a master of the White Lodge, no, the personality cannot be, because it has a beginning and an ending. As a physical body has a beginning and an ending. So when somebody asks you, oh, are you the master such and such? Then we answer, no, we are not that. Then they don't ask the question in the very right way. Is your being, your innermost inside, a master? And then you say, oh, that's another question. But if you address me, physical body, personality, no, I am not a master. I'm just a simple slug from the mouth of the earth. It was the Master Samael said. And this is what we have to understand. Because when I personally met the Master Samael on the Oro in Mexico, when I was addressing him as master, I knew that he, as a master, inside. And that his physicality eventually was going to pass away with his name. That's why we do not utter the name of his personality, because he is already dead. While other people in the website and the internet, you find that name the personality that is already disintegrated, that doesn't exist, and make a big problem of all of that. Samael on Veor is an immortal being, but his personality is dead, the one that he used, his physical body as well, everything is dead. So we don't name the personality of these beings. But people... other people like to worship those personalities. Of course, we have photos of his physical body, and we respect that because remind us. But in the internal planes, he has nothing to do with that features or photos that we find. The features of Samael on Veor internally are completely different. That's why when people show that and said, well, we respect him in order to remember the being of his last incarnation. But the real being, we have to understand, is different. And that's the being related with the rune tier that reincarnates. When we talk about reincarnation, we are talking about the reincarnation of Atman Buddhi. And if he's a master several already, Manas as well. Atman Buddhi Manas. That's what reincarnates. The ego doesn't reincarnate, returns. So when we address that, when we understand that, we stop worshiping personalities. Because of the tendency of us of thinking that that physical body with egos and defects and vices is a master. It's not a master. This is what we have to understand with the rune tier, because it's related with reincarnation. But that is a very demanding word. Reincarnation are only for those that already created the astral, mental, and causal body and that became united with Atman Buddhi. Dalai Lama, for instance, the Dalai Lama is a recognized reincarnation. Personally, I found him in internal planes, and he is a master. So I know that he is a reincarnation. But to call any other people reincarnation of this or that master, well, you have to investigate that person to see if really the innermost is already a master. Because we have to develop that. It's not easy. It's not by knowing or by memorizing all the books of the Master Samaelon Veor or by memorizing the Bible or by knowing all this Gnostic doctrine that we are going to reach mastery. Mastery is something internal that develops with the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness, which are related to the rune R. Three altars. The head, the sex, and the one that you are building in the center. Because that altar in the center is not built. That's why we said, I approach the altar of God, which edifies the mind and lights the splendor of an eternal youth. Which all that we are saying, we are developing my splendor, my tifereth, by working with the three factors, by working with my mind in meditation, by working with the sexual force in sexual magic. And that, then the center of the temple of your body is being developed, the altar. Astral, mental, causal body. And after that, of course, you have to eject merchants of your temple. Because the physical body is a temple and has three altars. Two already made, the father and mother, and the one that we have to build with the help of these two forces, Ida and Pingala. And this is how we understand what is says, what is stated. In the book of Genesis. In the beginning, Barashit. Well, the next rune is a rune Bar. If I use E, it contains the rune R and the rune Bar together. Bar is a name that reminds us the sun. And Aramaic, here's another word that is really very important. Jesus gave all of his knowledge in the Aramaic language. Ar, the light. Aramaic. So in Aramaic, B-A-R, bar, means S-O-N, son. So behold the first word of the book of Genesis, Barashith, that we always repeat in many lectures. The second word is Esh. Aleph, Shin, Esh, which means fire in Kabbalah, in Hebrew, Esh. And it's made with the two letters, the Aleph and the Shin, which relates to the heart. And that reminds us also the Ash tree, which is named in the Nordic Edda, which is also the same Yggdrasil, the tree from which Odin was hanging with the Runtir. And of course, the Runtir is here at the end of Bereshit, because it ends with the letter Tav, or the Tau, which is the same Runtir. So Bereshit is telling us about the rune R, the rune Bar, and the rune Tir, along with the rune Is as well, because before the T you find the I. So all the runes are there present in the beginning. Barashith, the son of the Ash tree, created Elohim. If we take, of course, the Nordic alphabet in relation with the word Bereshit, which is explained, and that there are many explanations that we find in relation with that first word. And as we said, the Hebrew letters are derivatives from the runes. And that's why we find this word bar in many words in different languages. For instance, the word barbarian usually is pointed to a person that is a savage. This is a barbarian. But it's not the meaning of it. In the runic Futhark, you see the two runes repeated, bar, bar, and the word ia, and, or barbar, barbaro, barbarian, which means two times S-O-N, son. Two times son, which remind us what Jesus has stated in the Gospels. You have to be born again in order to be a twice born. So from that point of view, the word barbarian is a twice born, which is a son two times. And that's why when we talk about the son, the bar, we talk about the solar absolute, the cosmic Christ, the sun, which expresses as a sun again, bar, and even further. Because when somebody is a twice born and take the direct path, then later on, when he dies and resurrects, and then is no longer a barbarian, but a barbarian, three times. It is stated that the one that resurrects is three times honored, because he has accomplished with the three nails of the cross, of the three aspects of the rumbar, As you can see, the rumbar has three aspects of the rune, we will say thorn. Remember that the rune thorn is the third rune of the futhark. Fa, ur, thorn, or thorn, which we said father, mother, son. And that's why the rune bar, which is son, has three thorns. One that is making the rune kaum, if you see it, in between the two visible ones. Because you have to know and to see things without seeing it. The first thorn is the above thorn, and then the second is forming the other part of the rune bar. But in between them is another one that is invisible. So when you said, or when the master says, the rune bar encloses three aspects, and then you said, where? I don't see the three. Yeah, there's three there. The one that is invisible, that is the open kaun between the two thorns, encloses heaven, the forces of heaven within the bee. And that's why this bee of bar begins the word barashith. You see? In the beginning. But it's a feminine rune. Because that invisible vertex between the two thorns is making the womb within the body. If you observe the bee, the shape of the bee, you will discover a pregnant woman, the breast and the belly. So the rune bar in that way hides the mystery of life. That's why you said birth, to be born. So in reality, if you take and tip over the bee, you will see a mountain with two hills that is making the letter M of muta, mother. And of course, the invisible one between the two hills is the grave, which is always inside, because the womb is like a grave inside. It's hidden in the body of the woman. That's why the rune bar, it is stated, encloses three aspects. Becoming, an eternal becoming, barashith. The second aspect is being, to be, which also is in relation with bar. And the third is burial, death. So through the rune bar, you manifest the three aspects of life. Becoming is precisely what is the fetus in the womb of the mother. Something that is becoming, is being built. When it is out of the womb, something that is being born, that is being, to be. But during that development of to be or not to be, eventually the burial will come. Death. So that's why this rune encloses, we will say it in that way, the three factors hidden within the bar, within the sun. Master Samael of Vior stated in the Book of Runes, if we place before the sacred syllable R, the letter B, or the letter or bar, the rune bar, then we indicate with this the necessity of attracting the sun to the earth, or the fire to the earth. R is the fire, the light, attracting to your body. So in order to become a sun, you have to attract the light into yourself. You find that's why this word bar, not only in Barashit, but in other words which are sprouting from the two runes. So as you see there, we place in the graphics the worshipping of Elias, the prophet, or Elijah, as we said. We already explained what Elijah means. It means El, Li, my God is Jah, Yao. Oh my God is Ra, the solar light. Or R, the light as well. So Elijah is of course Elias or Helios, the solar light. It means that this prophet represents the outcome of the solar light, of the initiation, of the development that we do inside. Remember, it is stated, it is necessary for Elias to come before the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. That Elias, that Helios, it is necessary for the light of the sun to come first into us, because we are the bar, the letter bar. So when we place that like this, making with the body the letter B, we are indicating with this that we are attracting the solar light, R, into the physical body. And of course, in that graphic we see how the prophet Elijah, which symbolizes the light, is attracting the forces of the Ein Sof, of Eliyahu, to the altar that he built. Let us read something that is written in the Book of Kings, chapter 18, 21 to 24. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yod-Havah is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You see the word be there again? And the people answer him not a word. We are talking about the light here, which is synthesized in E-A-O, which is synthesized in Sikh, which is synthesized in Yao and Eliao, Elijah, that we have to worship. But Baal is a corrupted light in which we create an idol inside of us, or idols, defect, vices, errors, when we use in the wrong way the light of the head, the light of the heart, and the light of the sex. When we are worshiping personalities, we are following Baal. Or Baal, as they said also in the Bible, which is the contrary of the Lord, that belongs to the Baalim, the inhabitants of Klipoth. So Elijah is telling, how long are we going to be between two opinions? If the light is God, follow the light. But if Baal, then we cannot be between two. We have to follow only one. Otherwise, we become harasmuzen with double center of gravity. And those are that like to make of their heart, like to make of their heart an altar. And it says here, this is what I am, worship me. And we forgot that we have to worship only one God, which is inside of us. And we have to respect the masters. But first, love thy God above everything, and the neighbor as thyself. Then says Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of Yod-Habah, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. It's very clear there. 450 makes 9. That 9 goes to sex. Those that abuse sex, those that like to fornicate, are 450. There are many. But only him that worship the light, that represents our own particular innermost, our own particular Elijah, is the only thing that remains faithful to the light. This is how we have to understand. Let them therefore give unto us 2 bullocks. Remember the bullock, cattle, cow, ox, oxen, is represented by the letter Aleph. Remember that the letter Aleph, the wind, the light enters through the nostrils, mingle with the blood, and finally goes down into sex. The bullock is the ego as well, the minotaur that we have within. So give us 2 bullocks. And he says, and cut in pieces and lay down on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay into a wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of Yod-Habah. And the God that answered with fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So how do you put that bullock on the altar? Of course, those people that make of their hearts an altar, they put it there, and they want to become masters that are worshipped. And they utilize the fire of the Lord in the wrong way. But by the annihilation of the ego is how we make an altar in the heart. Because in the heart is the atom nous, the atom of the sun, S-O-N, that will build as an altar. This is the altar that Noah built when he finished the work, and the ark, you see the word there, the rune Ara, the ark. Ark, the K is the Kaun, the two forces up and below, landed in the mount Ararat. The mount exists, but the prophets were very clever to write things and learn to hide. The Mount Ararat. is two times the altar. The altar of sex is the altar of the head. That's Ararat. But you know how to build with a T. The Tau of Ararat, which is the rune T here. So when you do that, and then of course, you are attracting, as we said in the with the B in your three brains, you are attracting the light of the sun to yourself, as Elias is showing it in the graphic. He's attracting the light of above inside of himself in order to burn the bullock, which represents, of course, the fire. I mean, the ego. The bullock represents the ego. And Elias said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of Jehovah that was broken down. What is the altar of Jehovah that was broken down? The sexual altar, of course. Because when we fornicate, we just make a mess and build more calves to that bullock that we already have inside. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Jehovah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Isra, the rune Ar, and the rune Is, and the word El, God there. 12 stones is pointing us to the rune Tir, which is the number 12. The 12 stones that we have to build, we have to settle in our heart. Because those 12 stones represent the 12 attributes or archetypes that are representing the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 constellations, or the 12 apostles of the Lord. Remember, the rune Tir is the 12th. So the 12 apostles are the 12 archetypes. And the one that organized that is the 13th, which is the Lord. The 13th is the letter Bar, which is the sun. Bar means sun. So Bar has to be united with Tir. The 13 with the 12th. In order to make the altar, the R, you see? The B is the 13, is the Lord, the sun. The 12 are the apostles, the Tir, that we work in the spinal nervous system. And the R is the 10th, together with the 10th Sephiroth, which is the light. This is what Elias is doing there, working with these three runes. And he says, hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that is, that these people may know that thou art Jehovah Elohim, the name of Binah, in the tree of life, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. That burnt sacrifice is in the higher altar always. When you put that burnt sacrifice, it's your mind. In your mind, you put that animal, that bullock, it says, my God, here, it says an ego. It's one of the bullocks that I have. It's the ego of anger, the ego of lust, or whatever ego you comprehend it. And you bring the fire of Jehovah Elohim, which is the fire of the father and mother, the divine mother, in order to annihilate that ego. In order to turn your heart back again, to build your altar inside of you. Then the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench, the sexual trench. That fire comes down through your nose and rises from the water. And that is a miracle that you find that is done by Elijah. Symbolically, in the chapter 18 of the book of Kings, If you read the whole chapter, you will understand what we're talking about. So that is the mystery of the bar, the R, and the tear. Do you see how beautiful it is? How you work with these runes. That's why the Master Samael on the Or advises that in order to prepare yourself for the advent of the fire, that fire with which we have to work, we have to vocalize the mantra Ario. The mantra Ario, which relates to the Aryan race. Aryan means Gentile. So you put your leg, right leg, in order to make the letter A with it, as you know, the rune R, and then you vocalize. Ario. The mantra Ario. If you see, A-E-O are precisely the three vowels along with the letter R. The letter R makes to vibrate the fire inside of you. The R opens your lungs in order for the fire to enter, or the wind. The E put in activity the chakra of the pineal gland, the Sahasrara, and the O, which is related with the heart and the sexual force that rises to the heart. By vocalizing that, the Master says, for about 10 minutes daily, he says, it is advisable to work with this practice for 10 minutes daily. You have to learn also how to roll the R. Many people do not know how to roll the R. And if you even sharp the sound, it's better. When you sharp the sound of the R, then you send the sound to the top of your head. With that, you prepare. That's the practice of the rune R. Then you also have to practice the rune tier. The practice corresponding to the rune tier consists in placing the arms high above the head. But you have to make the hands are cupped like seashells. Cupped. Cupped. Yeah, it says. I don't pronounce the E here, right? Cupped. Like this. Cupped. You raise the hand like that, and then you descend your arms straight. Don't bend your arms in order to make the arrow with your body. That, as the Master explains there, the letter T or Tau strikes the consciousness in order to awaken it. Remember that the pineal gland is the seat of the soul, the seat of the consciousness. So when you are pronouncing the T, you strike, you just beat the T. Like the hammer of Thor. Remember that the T represents also the hammer of Thor. When that hammer strikes the anvil, the light comes. And then the anvil is your pineal gland. And the light is this, the hammer of Thor. Thorn. T. And obviously the letter I, that sounds like double E. E. By raise that. And goes directly, as the Master explains, within the blood, which is the vehicle of the essence of the soul. They are, while intensifying the circulation of the blood in the veins, in the sanguineous vessels, is operating marvels with the igneous flames by intensifying and stimulating the awakening of the consciousness. So that is a powerful rune in order to awake consciousness. Remember always that we are working with the light. Raise your arms and make the shells with your hand and put them down while vocalizing the mantra tear. Simple. But remember that that tear is in relation with your innermost. So remember your self, your spirit, your ruach. Remember that in the beginning, the spirit, the tear of God, the ruach of the Elohim, was floating over the waters. And this is how the tear fecundates the waters of sexuality. Now, there is another rune, another practice of the rune bar, but as you see, this is the esoteric practice of the rune bar. We didn't place there the shape of the rune bar, because the master explains that the rune bar should be mixed with the rune tear. Because the rune tear is that light that comes down, and the rune bar establishes that light in your body. Therefore, you have to combine the two mantras, tir bar, but only by performing the rune tir. We cannot state here that you have to make the shape of the rune bar at the end, because I personally investigated. And as the master explains, other master explain it. The only thing that you repeat here is the letter bar, but you don't make the shape of the rune bar at the end. You just combine the two mantras, tir and bar. Objective of this practice, to wisely mix within our own interior universe the magical forces of the two runes, to awake consciousness, to intimately accumulate Christ's atoms of high voltage inside of us. Remember that we are the bar. The bar is us. Becoming, being, burial, or burying. So when you said, when you practice the rune bar, in this case it's a rune bar, but it's combined with a rune tier. Then you do the same thing after performing the rune tier, then you perform the rune bar by doing the same movement but vocalizing two mantras. Tir bar. You see, I breath in the middle. When my hands were making the cross, I breathe again and pronounce the mantra bar, and I descend my hands in order to make the shape of the arrow. So that is attracting the light into your body in order to take advantage of the two runes. Remember that in this case, you are the sun, bar, in Aramaic. Even though in Hebrew, you said ben, son as well with B, and daughter is a bar as a rune. Bar Sheva, the daughter of the seven, says, or Bat, in other words, is not bar, but with T, bat, B-A-T. So daughter in Kabbalah in Hebrew is B-A, the letter tier. So we will say in that way that in Hebrew, the letter or the rune bar and the rune tier in the woman is united, because this is what you said, daughter in Hebrew, but as when you spell in the Latin words the name of that animal, the bat, right? The same words for daughter in Hebrew. That same word means daughter and begins with a B. So the tear bar is very shown in the daughter in Hebrew. But in the first, the tear. Do you have questions?
Mm-hmm. And so the implication is that our individual ray, like the ray we belong to, is a result of
blending.
The cosmic creator who fecundated our
ray.
Our ray. Okay. So is that an arbitrary process, like which ray we belong to, or is there something about our Ein Sof, our individual being of our being, that causes it to gravitate towards being in a particular ray? Or is it just only after it's assigned by the cosmic creator?
Well, that is an interesting question. Who decided of this ray to go with this cosmic creator, right? Well, the one that decides is the Theomertmalogos. Because remember that in the Ein Sof or is a Theomertmalogos, which is the intelligence of the absolute. And the absolute knows, because your Ein Sof and my Ein Sof is part of it. And it says, this will be united with this. And then they merged, right? They blend the two forces. If you see, that ray that comes from the Ein Sof, when blending with the cosmic creator, is the same ray, but blended, that appears in the universe with the spark, with the inheritance to develop. But in the end, it's the same force. Because force is forces. Within Christ, all of us are one, right? United. When you meditate and enter into the Ein Sof, and you want to inquire about the Master Jesus, then you become the Master Jesus within your own particular light and experience. If you want to know who was Krishna, and then you experience Krishna, and you are Krishna, because within that light there is not personality, there is not individuality. All of us are one. And this is something very important to know in case of someday when in meditation you experience any being. Do not come back and say, oh, I am that being, because that's a blasphemy, right? And even if you discover the nature of your own God, the ray of your own being, and who your being is, remember that God is always God. He's above. Here down, we are personalities, more or less perfect or imperfect, right? That are trying to survive in this jungle, right? And do not ever mistake the physical body, the personality of individual with the master, because it is not. It's completely different. When I was with the master Samael Veor and his personality, he was behaving like any one of us, because he needs to eat, he needs to do things, you know. But the inner being is different. When I was addressing him, then he was concentrated in bringing his own being into his own body, and he was expressing what he has to express, or to say what he has to say. And the rest of the day, he's not always thinking, oh, I am somebody on the earth. He has to eat. He has to do things, you know what I mean? All of us have to do that. Remembering, of course, the being is important all the time. But the being, the innermost, is not always inside the body as a bird, like in a cage. You know, can go inside and out, as his own will. And most of the time, the innermost is outside, in the Milky Way, doing what he has to do. And the Bodhisattva here, well, doing what he has to do. And all of a sudden, when a disciple comes and says, Master Samael, I want to talk with you, and then he concentrates and brings his being because he's addressing his being. And then he answers, right? But that's why this is the mistake of people, of misjudging the personality of somebody else whose being is a master. And one thing is the personality behaving like any one of us. Sometimes making jokes, right? And it's, oh, the master such and such like to make jokes. No, it's the personality that is doing it, behaving. Personality and the physical bodies there sometimes have a special, preferences. Like this type of food, like this type of meat, vegetables, like this, like that, right? But don't mix that with the master. That's different. Only when the master has annihilated the personality, then the whole being expresses itself. In the last year of life for the Master Samael on the earth, he even annihilated his personality. And he said, anyone that for now on will name my Christian name will be a traitor because I annihilated that. It's completely dead. My name is Samael on the earth in this physical body. Of course, it was the last step in his resurrection. After that, he died physically. This is when we met him, and he was the whole being there. But before that, if we have personality, it is better to shut our mouth and not to say anything about our inner being unless we are going to behave in the right way, because people like to judge. And sometimes they don't know what they are judging. So,
question. Do the Jeni of Trinamatsikamnians begin their physical manifestations in the mineral kingdom? And if so, are there still new ones entering this plane at this time?
The question is, are there new rays always entering in this cosmic day? According to my understanding, no. Every cosmic day have their own number of rays, of individual rays that need self-realization in order to make bigger the light of the Ein Sof Or and the knowledge of the Absolute. So these rays, of course, every planet has their own particular number of rays or that enter and monads that are acting their own particular souls. When the number of souls or the number of the self-realized lights that the Absolute wants, because there is always a certain number that the Absolute wants to harvest, when that harvesting finishes, then the cosmic night comes. Right now, still, the harvesting is there. The Absolute needs solar men. Solar human beings, solar, or light, to build that light and dance. So as the number of several lights are not finished, still the harvesting is in activity. Even though right now in this Aryan race, the opportunity is the last one. The Aryan race. The rays of Aries, the rays of Mars, the lamb, or the goat. No, it's not the goat, it's the ram. Because Aries is the symbol of the ram, and that ram is the lamb, with seven horns and seven eyes. The Lamb of God that erases the sins of the world. The Son of God is the Lamb. Arius, R, light. Another question? Do you have another question? Some question? Are you? Yes.
With this room here, can we just do this one instead of the other one? Are they a combination or are they two different ones?
Two different ones. First, we pronounce the tier individually, and then we perform the bar by combining the tier with, the two mantras, tier bar. But the performing of the rune bar is exactly as the rune tier. The only difference is that we pronounce bar after tier. And as we said, we are attracting with this the fire to the earth, the philosophical earth, which is our physical body. In order for us to do the burning of the bullock, as Elijah teaches. Study, read the chapter 18 of the first book of Kings and understand all of that mystery is inside of us. Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Gnostic Radio to help others. Make a donation by visiting gnosticradio.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to explore the wide variety of resources available on our websites. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.